And he like never let me live that down until the day he died.
Welcome to Millennials Looking for Mentors. I'm Klein Aliardi.
And I'm Elise Notariani. And thank you to Jefferson Health New Jersey for sponsoring this episode.
Today we're talking with Mindy Holman. She is the chair of Holman. They're about to celebrate their 100th anniversary, which is wild. It was started by her grandfather.
Yeah, which is so much fun because we're both, you know, very familiar with family businesses.
Yes, but I feel like people who are listening know my family business.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
You should explain yours because yours is amazing.
I mean, we had like a million. We had, what, the beer distributor?
That's my favorite.
And the fact that my boyfriend's family and my family were like always opposite each other, the beer distributors.
Your relationship has a bit of a Romeo and Juliet theme to it.
Because my grandpa started our beer distributor and his grandpa started his, and they were like direct competitors. I don't think they loved each other very much. When my dad took over, they got along, which thank God, or else it probably would have made Christmas a little bit more difficult once we started.
It would have been eventful.
Totally. But yeah, it was very, very strange because I had no idea any of that history until long after we had already started dating.
Yeah, no, all I had was my mom writing about my sisters and I.
Yeah, which means I get to know every one of your family secrets before you even tell me.
That is very true. All right. Well, we're going to hear about Mindy and her family business and how it was a little different than our experiences. A
little bit.
I know you've told the story about how you didn't think you wanted to go into this.
Right.
So can you tell us about how that happened?
So I graduated from college. I went to school down in Virginia and I stayed down there after college. I taught for a couple of years. I coached tennis for a couple of years. I went back and got my master's degree in education. And my thought was I wanted to get a doctorate in educational psychology. I wanted to be like a school psychologist. And so I applied to this program down there and I got waitlisted. So I thought, well, I'm going to just reapply the following year. And I was kind of unsure what to do during that year. So my dad suggested to me that since I was kind of floundering, you know, move home for a year and work in the business because, you know, even though I didn't really have interest in our business, I, you know, one day was going to own a good amount of the stock in the business. And he said, it's just going to help you make better decisions when you'll need to do that. So I thought, okay, that's not a bad idea. So I moved home for 1 year. And that was 36 years ago. So it turned out that it was a much better fit for me than I thought. I thought business would just be very dry and kind of boring and, you know, just about numbers and spreadsheets. And I'm even not much, you know, I'm very fortunate to get to drive nice cars, but I'm not really a car person, you know, big enthusiast. And what I learned pretty quickly was it was a much better fit for me because business is all about people. You know, it's about our employees, it's about our customers, and it's about our communities and trying to build up our communities. And it's a wonderful way to do that. So it was a much better fit for me. I consider myself a people person, and that's why it's been so great. It's been 36 years, which is crazy.
That is wild.
I can't imagine doing anything for 36 years. Yeah. I haven't been alive for 36 years, so I guess that would probably make
36 years. Yeah, it's funny. We have people that have worked, you know, my husband's been here 40 years. He's been here longer than I have. We've had several people that have been here for 50 years. Yeah. So we've got such longevity, and we have people whose kids work here and even some whose grandkids work here, which to me is like the ultimate compliment. If somebody tells their child, this is a good place for you to be. So it's really cool. The longevity of our people is something I'm really proud of.
When was there anything? That's amazing. Sorry. I got distracted.
I'm at my sister's house. That is Carl. He's a French bulldog. He's so ugly, but he's cute. He's got a tooth sticking straight out of his mouth.
Oh, that's my favorite thing about Zoom is like seeing like the dog tail walk go by or like a little toddler run around the background. You know, that's a good thing about getting to know people through Zoom is seeing a little glimpse into their lives.
Never a dull moment. So through 36 years, was there anything that surprised you about working with your family? Yours isn't just your immediate family business. I know you have your like extended families involved. So it's really a family affair. Was there anything that you kind of didn't expect?
I'm surprised how we get credit for just being kind of regular people, which is ridiculous. Why do you get credit for just being kind of a regular person? I mean, I understand how blessed I am to be in the position that I'm in. I feel so fortunate. We all feel that way. I mean, the family members that are in the business, you know, they are in it for the right reasons.
It doesn't sound like you're the kind of person who keeps business and family separate. So this might be a moot point to ask, but is that just how your family is? Like,
yeah, mostly. You know, you can't really separate the two, even with people, you know. So, you know, I have two boys. And my older son, Brad, lives in California. He, you know, he'd like to be a writer. He has no interest at this time in his life of joining the family business, which is great. I want him to do what his passion is. And then Joe is much more interested in the business. And I believe that he'll probably come into the business sometime in the next couple of years. We have a rule that you can't come in right out of college. You got to go do your own thing for a while, which I think is just, you know, it makes good sense, because then he's getting his own experience. He's going to come in with things that he's learned and with a different kind of knowledge than if he just came in through right after college. But even with Brad, when he's home, you know, we still talk about the business. I mean, he's still interested. He interned there for one summer, and he still remembers some of the people that he was with, and he wants to know how they are, and he wants to know how different decisions that we might make would affect the people. And you know, so we talk about interesting customer stories, like, well, what would you do? This is what happened. How would you handle it? Now, Joe is much more into the details of it, and he's got different ideas. I mean, he pushes me on some of the things that, you know, that we're doing. And, well, why would you do it that way? And he asks really good questions. When and if he decides to come into the business, he's going to be a real asset. But even with the ones that are really into it and the ones that are out of it, wherever they want to be is fine. But it's still a part of them. It's still a part of them in some way, which is good.
Do you guys have any other rules? Like, is there like no business talk at the Thanksgiving table?
No. Yeah, no, we don't. That's funny. That's a really good question. And maybe we would have more boundaries if any of us felt like it was a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. If it got just heated or if it got contentious. But it's not, it hasn't been. And I don't, Frank and I don't push it. Don't over talk about the business. I think often it's one of those guys that'll bring it up and start the conversations. So I could see us having those kind of rules if it was impacting our, you know, our family life, but to this point, it hasn't done that.
So it's no, like, first one to bring up cars has to do the dishes tonight. Like, none of
that. No, but that's good.
Right?
Because it's usually me that does the dishes. So anything that gets me out of it.
This could work in your favor.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to take that home.
Do you remember when you were younger, situations like that? Like, did you also sit at the dinner table and kind of talk about it? Or were you?
Well, it was funny. My grandfather, who started the business, used to like to lecture about it. And I was pretty young and I was less interested. My brothers and my two older cousins got the brunt of that because they were just older and closer to being in the business. And my other younger cousin and I used to be able to go out and like escape the dining room table when he got into one of those things and go play. But my dad never really did that. I think maybe because he saw how my grandfather handled it and opted to do it differently. So really, because I think he was so careful not to push any of his kids into the business, he didn't really talk about what was good about it either. Mm-hmm. You know, he just wanted us to be able to do our own thing. So so that's why I was so surprised when I came in and found that I liked it so much, because I really didn't understand it. So it was just kind of interesting growing up. Yeah, there wasn't a ton of business talk in my household when I was a kid.
Interesting. So you really jumped into this, and you just were not that you weren't prepared. Yeah. Not in that way.
No, that's fair.
You didn't.
No, it's fair. I wasn't.
Well, those first days, you were, I guess you were learning a lot. Mm-hmm. I would always assume that you kind of had a footing just because of everything, but that's so interesting.
No, yeah, I was really learning. I was learning by watching the people around me. And I learned, you know, one of the, you know, I don't do a lot of things well, but one thing I'm good at is I'm a good listener. Mm. And there's such value in listening. And first of all, it shows respect to the people that are around you. It builds trust because you care what they're thinking, but they just have been doing this stuff and they can teach you something, you know? So I learned an awful lot from the people that I started with and just, you know, learn by watching and then doing.
Yeah. Amazing. I think it's a lot of people who are in charge who think, oh, I'm in charge, so I have to know everything about everything at all times.
Yeah. No, you don't. What you have to do is have trust in the people that are actually doing those things. But there's a million things in our company that I don't know how to do. I don't know how to do title work on a vehicle. I don't know how to fix a transmission. I don't know how to put a crane on a truck body. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I don't know how to do. And that's good, because we have people that do and they do it really well. And that's what you need.
Yeah. And has anyone ever, maybe when you're out places, or even if you're in like, you're at an event or something like that, has anyone ever assumed that your husband was the face of Holman instead of you?
Probably once in a while. They, you know, the fact that I kept my name usually tips them off, but sometimes it's, you know, you can kind of see the light bulb go on and like, oh wait, no, you know. But he's also the face of Holman, so that helps. It's cool that he's been in the business and that we work together.
Yeah, I don't know if I knew that. Did you meet at
the company? We did. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's so
cool. I knew you guys worked together. I did not realize that.
Yeah, he's been there longer than I have. In 2016, I became chairman. It's a funny thing, because as CEO, you're responsible for the day-to-day operations, really. And as chairman, you're kind of above that. You chair the board of directors, so you oversee the big decisions, but you're kind of not supposed to be down in the weeds of the business. I'm sometimes not so good at that part. I still kind of get down, you know, I still get into the weeds probably sometimes more than people would like. So I'm still figuring that role out. But yeah, so I was officially named the CEO of the company in 2004.
And did you feel ready for that, or was that a stressful transition?
I would say that any position I've moved into, I probably never felt 100% ready on the day that I moved into it, which I think is fair. I think, you know, you got to get into it. You got to understand what it's like. You have to get a sense of having the weight on your shoulders of more responsibility. The funny thing with me, though, is that when I became CEO, my dad was still very much in part of the business. He became chairman at that part, and he couldn't stay out of the weeds either. So I guess I come by that naturally. So it wasn't like, you know, a light switch went on and all of a sudden I was in charge and he wasn't. It was kind of an evolution to that. He was always careful never to, you know, try and step on my toes or not give me the latitude that I needed. But I remember the first decision I made that he didn't agree with. And it, you know, it was not a big deal. It wasn't like an acquisition or something, but the people that worked in offices at that time, it was, I don't know, mid 2000s or something, the men still had to wear ties. And, you know, and so we went to like more of a business casual thing where the men didn't wear ties. And he like never let me live that down for the, you know, until the day he died. He was still not happy with me that we kind of went to this more casual, because he was an old school guy and he liked putting on his tie every day, and he still did, even though we didn't have to.
Yeah.
So it was an evolution.
Yeah.
Were there any experiences like right at the beginning where you were like, oh, I have to handle this. That's me. Yeah. Like, you just kind of didn't expect.
There were. And, you know, the good thing is because you have to, then you do. And then, you know, mm-hmm. you can. I mean, mm-hmm. I think sometimes you just have to have things land in your lap and you have to address them. And sometimes you're going to get it wrong, but at least you become used to knowing that it's your responsibility and stepping up to it and moving forward. And the more you do it, the easier it gets and it becomes more second nature. And I mean, it's nothing that I ever take for granted. And the good thing about the way our business works is, you know, it's very collaborative. There are very few times where like I've had to take a stand and completely disagree with what everybody else wanted to do, because we kind of come, even though we have different skills and strengths, we have the same kind of mindset. I think we do everything kind of through a people first lens.
I feel like that would be the most stressful thing for me, because as you were saying earlier, you're supposed to back away from being in the weeds,
yeah.
which means you have to trust a lot of people to Absolutely. Have the same idea, like foundational idea
yep.
that
yep.
you have. So like, does it ever happen that that's not the way it went?
Yeah. I think that the people that I work most closely with have that same vision
right.
for how we want to act, what we want to do, who we want to be, you know what I mean? And I think that if they didn't, they wouldn't be where they are. It was important that they, you know, I mean, the people I work with that are some of my closest friends, because they're just people that I really like, people I admire, people I trust. Mm-hmm. The trust came, you know, over a long period of time. The CEO of the company right now, Carl Ortel, started with us the month before I did. He likes to hold that over me, that he's been there actually like 4 weeks longer than me. But, you know, so we've worked together for a long time and developed trust. The people that are around me, they're not afraid to disagree, which is hard, you know, to disagree with the chairman or the owner of the company or the person with the name on the building. And I'm proud of the fact that they will disagree with me. And that took trust in me. Somebody disagree with me, I had to not come back at them, or I had to make sure I listened and make sure that they knew it was safe to disagree. But that's the kind of healthy relationship you need to have with the people that you're running things with. You know, they have to be able to be honest with you. So our group, I feel like we have good communication, and we have 6,500 people. Can I tell you that all 6,500 people have the same vision and are doing things exactly how we would hope every single day? I can't. So it's got to just keep going down at the next level of managers within a business. You know, that you hope that they have these same values, and you hope that they have the same vision for how we want to run things. So, so it's a kind of a trickle down effect. Plus, we want to be able to reach everybody. We try and do that through communications, you know, through videos, through walking through the shop and talking to the technician about what he's, you know, what the recall's on this model of vehicle. So it's trying to make everybody in the organization understand that they have a really important role to play, no matter what they're doing. Probably my favorite days where I just go out and walk around one of the businesses, you know, go into a dealership, talk to the people, go into the shop, stop in the different bays, talk to the technicians, find out what they're working on, find out what the problems are, find out what's good. So those are probably my favorite days.
Do you feel like you make people nervous when you show up?
That's such a great question, especially people that don't know me as well, which to me just seems ridiculous, but I've gotten used to it. You know, it kind of is what it is. I think some people, but people that I've been around more that are not real new to the company, you know, they just see me as Mindy. And that's good.
When you are doing those walkthroughs and you find something that you maybe want to change, what's like your next step there?
I wouldn't make a big deal of it in front of people. You know, it doesn't help to embarrass anybody on the spot. I would, you know, take it away with me and then talk to probably whoever was in charge of that building or that operation and see what, you know, share what I didn't really like and talk about, you know, how we might change it.
At what point did you decide to bring everything together under the Holman name?
So that's been a couple years in the making, actually. Probably the last person they had to convince to do this was me. Cause you know, I'd grown up with the different brands and I don't, you know, I felt like it would seem there was kind of some ego involved all of a sudden calling everything Holman. So it kind of has different phases. On the dealership side, it didn't really change anything because where we could, we call the dealerships Holman. You know, there's Holman Ford, Holman Toyota, Holman Cadillac. BMW, right near those, is called BMW Mount Laurel because the manufacturer doesn't want the local dealer's name on it. They want to be the brand themselves, you know, which is a choice. I think it adds value, especially when you've been around a long time and people kind of know the branding. But so where we could in the dealerships, we had already branded them Holman. But we had these other businesses, mostly B2B businesses, you know, doing business to business, that were called different things. ARI is a fleet leasing company that leases fleets of vehicles or manages fleets of vehicles for large customers like FedEx and Burlington Railroad. And so we have these Comcast as an ARI customer. And then we had a business called Auto Truck. And what Auto Truck does is they upfit vehicles for these customers. Like with a Comcast van, they might just put in shelving and they'll put Comcast on the side and they'll make it ready for the customer's use. Or for Burlington Northern Railroad, they put these massive cranes on them on these big trucks and they put high rail gear so the trucks can ride down the rails and fix, you know, where a track is broken. I mean, it's really cool stuff that they do. But if you're sitting across from a customer and saying, okay, well, I'm here from ARI and we're going to do this for your fleet. And oh, he's from Auto Truck and he's going to do this for your fleet. Well, the customer doesn't care. They just want to know all this stuff's going to get done. So it makes sense kind of to have this umbrella and just say, these are all the things we can do for you when we're Holman. And I think that the other thing that it does for some people, not everybody's going to care about this, but you know, we've been around a long time. 18 months from now, we're going to start celebrating our 100th anniversary. So, right. So that's a really long time. And we've had family ownership through that time. The vision is to continue to have family ownership for as far out as we can see. Some people care about doing business with the family company, a privately held company that, you know, we don't have to make decisions for the next quarter because of you know, what the stock price might do. We can make, as my CEO likes to say, we make decisions for the next quarter century. I mean, we can really look out and make what we think is a better long-term decision. And a lot of customers appreciate doing business, you know, really having a relationship. Everybody wants a good price. Everybody wants good service. But there's some people I think that value knowing that they're doing business with a family who really cares about the relationship, who really cares about taking care of them. So I think the Holman branding thing is a step in that direction.
Yeah.
Especially 100%. In South Jersey, I feel like it's such a recognizable name and it's such like a down home kind of place. When I moved there, I think that was one of the first things I recognized when I was driving around. It's like, okay, cool. this Holman thing is kind of big.
Well, that's cool. That's good.
Thanks to Mindy for giving us a look inside a 100-year-old family business.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping you implement my rule on Thanksgiving so that you don't end up doing the dishes this year. I think it's a good one.
Life hack. Make sure you tune in next time. We have new episodes of Millennials Looking for Mentors every other Wednesday.
Plus, if you know someone you want us to talk to, shoot us an email at mlfmpodcast@gmail.com.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.